Since the beginning of time, man battles questions as to how to survive this crazy world we live in, and only God has the answers to all men's questions. Come travel the roads that leads us to the cross.
Of all the great gifts and doctrines of Scripture, faith is one of the least understood. It is the one gift that is universal to all Christians, as each is given a measure of faith, confirmed in Romans 12, verse 3. It is the gift that is indispensable in receiving what God wants to give. Now, as each has a measure of faith, there is also a special gift of faith given a few enlisted in 1 Corinthians 12. And here it starts out with verse 7 in 1 Corinthians 12 saying, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit." We know from Corinthians chapter 12 to 14 that some men and women were given a special ability to build the way for accepting the Gentiles into God's family for the new beginnings of the church. Many nowadays, with a measure of faith, may falter when looking at someone who stands strong at the leading of the changes God has planned, while most of us are being faithful from the trenches of just everyday living. We cannot allow doubts to enter, as all levels of faith that is practiced is glory to God the Father. Perhaps we should realize that faith is not an emotion, nor your senses, just a feeling, nor an intellectual exercise. Faith and our spirits work together with the Holy Spirit to see and do as God is in the business of faith building. Now, in 1 Timothy 3:9, Paul is laying out the quality of those who were to be leaders. And in 3:9, he says that they are to be holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Some say with a clean conscience. Paul used this word, the mystery, frequently. But as it is often the case, the understanding of a word can change over time. Our modern interpretation falls way short of the intended meaning of this word. A mystery to us is something we don't understand or we can't figure out. It's simply beyond our knowledge. How often do we hear the phrase, "Well, there's something mysterious about that situation"? Basically, the contemporary idea is knowledge withheld. Now, many Christians go to church and return home to turn on the TV or the digital reels and watch a mystery program about a crime scene on whodunit. Who done that crime? We seem to have a natural curiosity about finding out the unknown. Although we can certainly appreciate the natural curiosity of mysteries, spending our precious time watching the crime scene shows to satisfy the need to know might be better spent investigating the mysteries of Christ. Paul chooses to do just that in Colossians 2, and in verse 1 through 3, he makes an appeal. I want you to know what is the great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their heart may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches for the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Continuing on with verse 4 and 5, now I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So, what is hidden according to Colossians 2? It is Christ Himself, who is the mystery of God. It is a person. For whom is it hidden? It is hidden from the world. But who is it revealed to? It is revealed to Christians. What we have then is that the biblical use of the word mystery means truth revealed of a person, Jesus Christ, living in us through His Spirit. And to the Christians, the mysteries are an open secret. Oh, I love that. Colossians 1:27. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember those words, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, a biblical mystery is first a revelation, a revealing which is now within the completed Word of God and illuminated to us by the Holy Spirit. Illumination really conveys bringing light and understanding that must go on. For apart from the Spirit revealing to us, we would remain ignorant of the mysteries of God. Now, Paul speaks of the mystery of faith, a truth hidden from the world and revealed to us as true members of God's family. We are to hold as possessing that mystery of faith, and understanding that it is revealed to true members of God's family. We are to be faithful, steadfast, sticking to the beliefs and guidelines of faith. And this is done within the conscience. Paul categorically demonstrates faith is related to the conscience. Keep in mind the importance that the Bible puts on faith. Why faith? Is not love greater? Well, of course it is. But without faith, there can be no love, at least not the love of God. Paul, in writing to the Romans, underscores the significance of faith when he writes, For this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be in according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not only to those who are of law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. In other words, God floods us with grace. But the spigot is faith. The greater the faith, the greater the grace that is available in completeness, morning, noon, and night. But we need to appropriate and apply it to our daily living. Now, along with faith, there are words that go together in working side by side. We ought to believe, and in believing, we ought to trust. As we learn to trust, and by the way, that can be a horrendous task in our own strength, but as we learn to trust, we will give up the futile battle of trying to walk in faith, which never works. Because out of our own strength, doubts creep in and we fail. But it is out of His strength that we trust. And we learn this through many failures in the process. Then, as we are carried along and we believe, and that makes it easier to just trust in His strength, in His person, in His doing, all that He has said He will do and has done. Quiet your troubled hearts by reading over and over John 14. It lets us accept our past because of the current Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is within us as a real-life person to guide and guarantees our future, because by faith, through our conscience, our anxiety that troubles us is quieted. At the end of John 14, in verse 31, Jesus confirms that the enemy comes, but he has no hold on Jesus. And Jesus allows the enemy to come so the world can see the love Jesus has for the Father. And that love does exactly what the Father has commanded. Exactly what the Father has commanded. This is not a part-time job, but it is a believing faith, and a believing faith is a saving faith, and is persuaded, has confidence and reliance in what faith knows to be true. But what if my faith is weak, and my heart's desire basically wants a means of escape, wanting some immediate relief from the turmoil that is pounding the path daily? When quiet rest or quick release from my pain does not come, where do I go to not let these doubts take over? If we will choose to be in the Bible as we have been commanded in Scripture, we can open up to Luke 9:23. And here's the command. Take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow me. And then in Matthew 16, again the same is spoken. Whosoever doth not bear his cross daily and come after me cannot be my disciple.
A disciple?
A disciple is one who has chosen, been drawn, to follow in the way of Jesus Christ, as he has given himself and has shown himself while living on planet Earth. Now, to be his disciple, this is not what we may want to hear, because it doesn't necessarily offer instant relief, and that may be where our hearts really are. The burdened soul now groans and says, "Well, thanks a lot. The weight just got heavier. Don't you understand? I need some relief now." Well, we each come to these crossroads where our belief, thinking, our emotions, and our will must choose. There are times when we hear another one say, "It's just too much. I give in. Whatever happens, happens." Actually, believe it or not, this can be a really good point if we are ready to listen to the mystery of hope of Christ in you. Then eventually we come to see our Father has many, many reasons for administering or allowing trial, and they are all good according to his character in caring for his family. Now, for many of us, we've come to know this process as child training. And you know, we didn't like child training as a child, and sometimes we don't like it as adults. However, trials expose to us the futility of the old defeated life, and at the same time is teaching faithfulness of the Lord in our new life. As we are worn down, we start to ask questions about, well, where do I go from here? Is it really worth the pursuit that the Bible is talking about? Well, if we are willing to hear the voice called conscience, we can start to rise out of the pits by just wanting to escape. All the time, our Father is patiently, with tender mercy, waiting because of his character quality in being willing to wait and to wait and to wait and sustain us in ways we may never see until the end of the trials. Nevertheless, the character of Christ can never fail because he is perfect in all he is and does. Now, let's talk about being prepared going through any trial, and we can look at our example in 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it says, "No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man or woman, boy or girl. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, that means not going around the temptation, not going around the testing over or to the sidelines or escaping. It means going through. And as you go through and you process this time, then you are able to bear it by the power of Jesus Christ, his Spirit in you, and by faith that you have been given the measure sufficient for any trial that you encounter. Christians suffer the same calamities as others, and even sometimes perhaps worse. We face difficulties and loss in things of this life. Perhaps our health, our happiness, emotional hazards that crop up at the worst times and can go on and on. But finally, after months and sometimes maybe years, the words found in Philippians 3:8 declare, "Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Then we are willing to come to this point of truth found in 1 John 1:12. "But to all who received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." This is basic faith needed to walk one's Christian adventure in pulling out of the pits. And we can remember Romans 4:20. "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." You know, an interesting fact is that belief and faith are used almost 500 times together, showing the importance of faith is the means God has chosen to reveal himself and release his grace. It's no mistake that Hebrews declares that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That is Hebrews 11:6. Our faith with seeing Jesus as Savior continues as we mature to see him as Lord, but reaches full fruition when we know him as friend. The friendship of God is trust in action. All the while, the whole process, he is our shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. This is the closing of lesson Faith in Conscience concept. Claiming the promises for his glory is not an easy path to follow. In our next lesson, we will travel over some huge obstacles in overcoming the quicksand of self to stand on solid ground. Are you ready? If so, join us for our next time of Crossroads. Father, we take these words of truth spoken today by faith, knowing that it is because of Christ in each one of us that believes in his name, that you will perfect what is lacking, that you have already provided at the cross, and you will teach us through trials, through losses, through abundant blessings, how it is that you want to form and claim and grow the family of God forever together. And we praise you because in your name is all the power and responsibility to withstand whatever our earthly lives offer, provide, or bring to us. And it's in your precious Son's name we say, Amen.
You have been listening to Crossroads with Janie Ratzlaff. For more resources, go to SharedHearts.com. www.crossroads.org/crossroads.